Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Her name is Randy, that's with an I, serving this community, and we love this church family. Thank you for being here this morning. If you're a guest with us, we welcome you. Trust that you feel at home here with us and you encounter Jesus. That's our hope and our prayer, is that every single person in this room encounters Jesus. I like the new openness of no doors. It's just, I can see what's happening. Who's getting coffee? Who had way too much coffee? I want to pray for two churches, if we have that wonderful thing that goes up there. Two churches. This morning, I want to pray for a Wednesday night church, Matthias Lott. Many, many, many people will know of that church. Mark Sikma and his wife lead that church. We love that group. They are seeing lots of people born again, and church has grown. I had the privilege of meeting Mark just as that church started, probably 2006, 2007, 2008. Jesus is with them. They're over towards Lindenwood in an old prison cell. Now it's for freedom in St. Charles. And also the second church I want to pray for is North Road with Pastor Matt Bartig. Massive, again, church growth. They are all about seeing people born again. Young people abound in those two churches. Love what they're doing. So if you could pray with me, please. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in this county. Thank you, Lord, as we pray for St. Louis. We pray for St. Louis City, St. Louis County. But Father, I thank you for St. Charles County and these two churches. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would meet them this morning and all that they're doing, all of their needs, all of their hope, all their prayer, all their aspirations in you, Jesus, that it would be yes and amen. Lord, that you would raise up anointed leaders, not just good people, but anointed leaders, Father, people who are humble, who are kind, who are faith-filled and faithful, that they would emulate Jesus in every way. Father, that there, as they present you, Jesus, they would present you well. That the gospel would go forward in this county. We bless these two churches, Lord. We bless them with our mouth, with our heart, with our mind, with our spirit. We bless them to bear good fruit and fruit that remains. We thank you for them, Lord. I thank you that we are on the same team with these beautiful people. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Do we have a picture of Dan? Okay, this on the left is Dan. On the right, that's Fee. Do I have that right? Okay, they pastor the church in, or used to actually, I'm going to correct that. They used to lead the church in St. Charles, Illinois, which is west of Chicagoland. Dan has moved more into an apostolic role now, and there's a team of people who are pastoring the church. Dan was going to be here in 2 weeks. He was going to be here on the 28th of July, but this wonderful man, can everybody stand up real quick if you're able? If you're able. Dan was going to be preaching that Sunday on the 28th, 2 weeks from today, and 10 days ago, we have no idea how, but he's broken his back. Really, really serious injury. Doesn't know how it happened, but he's in excruciating pain, has been so for the last 10 days. So at this point, we've had to just say, amen, be whole, be blessed. Mark Levesque, could you come up, please? I would like to have Mark pray for this man. Thank you, sir. And we want to see a miracle that he can be here. Dan can be here on the 28th. And the break is an L3, but Jesus knows all about that.
I just want to share before I pray that backs are one of the areas where the Lord has let me see many miracles.
Yes.
And so I've seen so many backs healed. One gentleman who lives in St. Louis, he had 3 back surgeries. He was on 5 opiates. He was on morphine drip because of the pain so bad. Mm. We prayed for him, back completely healed, free from pain. He's now playing basketball. Amen. And so we're all going to raise our expectancy and expect this back to be completely healed when we pray. But we're not going to pray, we're going to command, because Jesus already took care of this, right? So in the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. For your word says that surely you bore our sickness and carried our pain. And we esteem you stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes we are healed. And Peter, looking back to that prophecy, said, you bore our sin in your own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And so, Lord Jesus, you said, the things I do, you did, we will do also. Amen. And so you spoke to the centurion's servant, and he was healed. You sent the living word of God, the word only, and he was healed. And so we're going to do the same thing for Dan. So in the name of Jesus Christ and under his authority, we command all damage in Dan's back, get out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command all back pain to get out of Dan. In the name of Jesus, all injury, damage, any disease, get out in the name of Jesus. You get out of Dan's back. In Jesus' name, we curse you. Pain, we curse you. We curse you, damage. We curse you, sickness. Whatever caused it, get out of Dan. Whatever caused it, get your hand off of Dan. You will stop limiting his ministry in the name of Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus, we command healing over this back. Dan's back will stand up straight. It'll be the way God created it to be. We declare life over his back, and he will be 100% improved and healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you, my friend. Amen and amen. And if Dan is able to play basketball, that will be another miracle. I've seen him. It'll be restorative and regenerative and sign and a wonder. We love them. Dan and Fee, they lead a ministry called Life Streams that this church is part of, and we love them and bless them. They were part of planting this church in 2013. Had the privilege of working with Dan and Fee since 1996, where we met them in England when we lived over there. So they're great people. So we just keep speaking healing over them, and that he would just walk free, totally healed, and just testimony to the doctors, testimony to everything that's happening up there. And again, you just know the devil would love to thwart the purposes of God. Just as Dan is being released into international ministry, the devil would love to hold him back, and that ain't happening. So appreciate the word from Kim and all the words this morning about perspective and just the transparency and just mercy over people. Mercy, 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 mercy. And again, you just realize, you know, I think we can all relate to this. Those of us that have children, when it's your child, everything else takes precedence over your child. And you think other children, if you've ever gone into a hospital and there's other kids sick, you're just worried about your child. And yet the heartbeat of God is for all of them. All of them. And we don't pick and choose. All human beings are made in the image of God. And our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits of the air. So we speak life, we speak blessing. But Father, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see your perspective. And I'm going to finish with that later on this morning. This morning title is Well Then. Well then. Last week I opened up in Acts 10 and I read the entire chapter. We're just going to review part of that and roll into Acts 11 this morning. Is it okay if we read the Bible again this morning? Yeah. And I love our worship team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are so blessed in this house. Acts 10, just a couple of verses to start with. Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 24. As we read last week, Peter is up on a roof and he has a vision. A cloud, a sheet comes down, and the Lord speaks to him about his internal prejudice. The only thing he ever saw was his previous perspective. That's all he had known. But God was wanting to break out into the church, into the world, not just the Jewish world. And the Lord had spoken to a Roman centurion, a Roman officer, current Roman officer, on the dark side, the other side, playing for the bad guys team. And the Holy Spirit visited this man, an angel visited Cornelius. and had spoken to him, because Cornelius was a good man. God gave this man a vision. He spoke to him, Cornelius. And then he sent Peter to come and present the gospel to him. So I just want to read verse 23 and 24 at the very beginning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me this morning to communicate your truth. Help me, Holy Spirit. Lord, that we could see things from your perspective. Lord, that we wouldn't be held in the past. Yesterday's revelation, yesteryear's revelation, our history. And that's the only thing we've ever known is our history. Lord, I pray now that you would rewrite my mind, rewrite my understanding, that I could see from the word of God, which you intended from before the foundation of the world, what you intended. Help me to see, Father, what you see. Help me to say what you say, that I wouldn't be held hostage by small thinking in yesteryear. Help us to see what you want to do in this world. And everyone said, amen. Acts chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. So he, Cornelius, the Roman centurion, invited them, this is Peter and the group of six men that came with him, invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them. Cornelius was waiting for Peter, waiting for the Jews to come to his house. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When I read this, that man, Cornelius, was filled with expectation. He's a Roman centurion. He's a soldier. His whole world, is all he's known, is soldiering and the Roman Empire. And he has a visit from an angel. It says that, Cornelius, your life has been so beautiful. Your giving to the poor, your kindness and generosity that's shown, your prayer life, so beautiful to heaven. I'm here to visit you. Heaven has come. Now, send for this man named Peter, who's 30 miles away, and he's going to come and he's going to tell you something. And this Roman centurion, he has no synagogue background. He has no church background. We don't even know what he understands from the Word of God. All we know about Cornelius is he's got a kind, soft heart, and he helps and loves poor people. And he prays to the God of heaven and earth. And his life is so beautiful as a pagan, an unbeliever. His life is so beautiful, it comes up as an incense to heaven. That's all he knows. And an angel visits him. And he's so confident of what the angel said. He's so confident of what God said. He's sending for a man he's never met. He's never met Simon Peter. Doesn't even know fully his name. Doesn't know Simon Peter's story. And the angel said, just go send for this man. He's going to come. And this man is so filled with faith of what God had told him. He invites all his relatives over. All his friends. He's got a house full of people. He has no idea when Peter's going to arrive. But he's so confident of what God has told him. His expectation is so high, he invites tons of people over to his house. Amen. Amen. Why? Because God said. He's got nothing to believe on that. There's no handwriting. Hey, we do this every Thursday. It's your turn. Cornelius, the price is right. You win. Come on down. He hasn't seen the movie before. He hasn't read Acts yet. He doesn't know anything about it. But God said, a man is coming. A man is coming, and he's going to tell you something. An angel? Can you imagine going and telling your wife, hey, get about 50, 60 of the folks. Bring them all. And the wife is like, what? When's he coming? I don't know. Well, when should we invite our guests? Now. Well, he's like 30 miles away. I know. Does he know you? No. What? It's crazy talk. But Cornelius just says, you know what? God said, it's going to happen. Get all our family, all our friends together, and we're all going to join together. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to wait until this man comes. It could be next Christmas. Of course, he didn't have Christmas at that point. And in this moment, this Roman soldier, that's all he is. He's just a Roman soldier. He's an officer. God's going to use him to bring a complete change. For the first time in hundreds, if not thousands of years, the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is going to break out beyond the Jewish world. The only time, the first time, it's never happened before. It's only Jewish people. Why this man? Because he's got a soft heart. And this man, if I speak to him, he's going to believe what I tell him. When everything wars against it. Cataclysmic change. And I read this and I think, well, how's he in communication with these people? What's he going to say? I don't know. What if he's not liking Romans? What if he doesn't like soldiers? You think, but it's change, and it's going to sweep across the world through this man. But all he's ever known is the Roman thing. And Peter in coming. Peter, all he knows is it's Jewish, it's Jewish, it's Jewish. He's had this vision. What if I got it wrong? What if it was pizza last night? We don't do unclean animals. We touched on it last week. We don't do bacon. But something's about to change. It's going to change the world. And it's funny now, as a slightly older person, speaking of myself, you remember how things have always been, always were, and then when change came, that changed your world. And you talk to younger people, like right now I have four grandchildren at our house right now. And they're little ones. And I've got a five-year-old that dances around on his little gizmo. That's all I know. And just as I was leaving this morning, my 11-year-old grandson said, Dad, what's your password? I'm like, win? Don't lose? I don't know what my password. What are you talking about, my password? My 11-year-old said, what's your password, Grandpa? I'm like, I don't know. Ask Grandma. What do you mean a password? But he has no framework for anything other than right now, but there was a history before it. Can you remember back when the internet first came? I used to call it the interweb. Before that, you remember when AOL came out and made that funky little sound when you hooked up to it? And there was a time before, people now, kids now, they have no, what do you mean there's no internet? The first cell phone, what are you talking about? I used to get tons of quarters and put it in my pocket, dimes, and go make pay phone calls. I remember my gas, you go to the gas station and you just sit in your car and somebody comes out and they clean your windshield and they flip your hood up and they check your oil. And nowadays it's, Dad, don't sit in your car, get out. Remember when 9/11 changed everything? Somebody this week said, where were you when 9/11 happened? Changed the world. Before that, we weren't thinking about terrorism in our country. We're thinking about that kind of stuff. But 9/11, it changed the world. When COVID happened, it changed the world. I remember the first time somebody told me about a Zoom call. I thought, is that a really fast one? I was thinking again this week about this stuff. And I remember 1984. Is Jim Kopp still here? Is he out having coffee somewhere? Jim, I remember 1984 in my house in Edmondson. We were playing Frogger. And I beat him bad. And it was an Atari game. And you just think, before there was nothing before that. We were so cool. And in this time frame, Peter's like, the whole church. Jesus, at this point in Acts chapter 10, Jesus resurrected 10 years before. 10 years of church life has gone on. It's only Jewish. There are no Gentiles in the church. It's all Jewish. That's the only grid he has. And now a Roman centurion said, hey, come, you know, go visit this guy. And Peter's like, I have no grid for this, but I had a vision. It's 100% Jewish. In the early church, you're still circumcising young boys. There's still all the ritual washings. That's all they know. And then in a massive display of heaven's intervention, Holy Spirit comes. And the Lord uses Peter of all people. I think I would probably have used John. If it, you know, Peter just seems to have a proclivity for mistakes, missing the moment, totally hacking people's ears off who should be keeping their ears. And as Peter of all people, unclean animals, you just think, what, Lord, why would you use Peter? Because Jesus always seems to delight in using the unlikelies. He's got you. I mean, he's got me. Acts 10, verse 24 to 48. We're just going to remind ourselves of what we read last week. Acts 10, 24 and 48. On the following day, he, Peter, entered Caesarea, which is the capital city for the Romans. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. See, again, you just see the total unfamiliarity with each other. Cornelius, you don't worship people. He's like, but this is a godly man, an angel visited me. How do I know I'm not? Because Cornelius knows nothing. Peter knows next to nothing about the Romans, other than you can't talk to him, you can't visit him, you can't eat with him, you can't go inside their house. These two cultures colliding with each other. Cornelius bows down to worship him. Peter raised him up saying, stand up. I too am just a man. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he, Peter, said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner. That's a nice how you doing. Hey, I'm not supposed to be with y'all. Y'all are unclean. Nice to be here. What's for lunch? And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Peter, you're so perfect in so many ways. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked, for what reason you have sent me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms, your giving, have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa, which is a city by the sea, and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here, present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Cornelius is amazing. He didn't text, hey, we got Peter, we'll be there about 3, Tuesday. There's no way to communicate. Cornelius just fills his house with people knowing God is true and it's going to happen. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him up on the third day and granted that he became visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, the non-Jewish people. They're all speaking in tongues. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter said, surely no one can refuse the water. I love that. No one can refuse. Water baptism is important. Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to stay on for a few days. I'll bet they did. Acts 11, verse 1 through 18. I love this. This is so fun. Now the apostles and the brethren, all the Jewish dudes who are believers in Jesus, who are not named Peter, now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. A bunch of people just got saved. A ton of people just got born again. All the believers in Jesus all heard about it. But the believers aren't happy. Why? Because those people aren't Jews. We don't do that. This is for the Jews, God's chosen people. We aren't happy. Peter, you messed up again, probably. Come on home, son. Let's talk. What do you do this time? Cutting off more servants' ears, saying stupid stuff, telling Jesus no. Peter, you've crossed a big boundary here. They took issue with Peter, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. These are Christians, believers in Jesus. These Gentiles, they're of a different color. They're of a different ethnicity. They're of a different background. They're not Jewish. You can't tell these people about Jesus. You can't eat with him. You can't go into their house. You can't mix. Peter, what are you doing? They're different. They're wrong. History tells us they're wrong. A couple thousand years of history says you can't go into their house. You can't eat with them. You can't do anything with these people. They don't look like us. We're Jews. We're the right people. We're God's people. We're holy. Verse 3, saying to Peter, you went to uncircumcised men and you had the audacity to eat with them. I'm glad we don't have a problem with that nowadays. People that are of a different color, different language, different political stream, think different, talk different, act different. I'm glad we don't have prejudices. Verse 4. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, that had to be hard for Peter, saying, can you imagine just the sweat that might have appeared on this man's brow? What if I did mess up? He's Peter. Verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down before me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord. Shouldn't tell Jesus no. By no means, Lord. For nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea, which is the Roman capital city, which is where Cornelius was staying, living. Verse 12, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he, Cornelius, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord. Father, help me to remember your word. Help me to remember those things that I've forgiven or hard to believe. Things that go against what I want. But Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me to remember what you say and not put boundaries on it. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, this is Jesus, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is I that I could stand in God's way? Wow. Again, to us it seems like no big deal. Of course you can. But it was only Jewish people. All those others, they're unclean. When they heard this, they quieted down. These folks wanted a piece of Peter. What the heck are you doing this time? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. And we wouldn't be here without this encounter. Acts 11:18, New Living Translation, different translation, same verse. When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. And they said, we can see that God. The problem was, it's now we can see. Before we couldn't see. Before we had no grid for it. No possibility that a non-Jewish person could be a believer in Jesus. Our church looks like this. All Jewish people. Well then. Oh. Have you ever had one of those oh moments? Thank you, me too. Maybe when we're watching TV last night. Oh, and the Lord shows us on the inside our prejudices, our small thinking, our finite thinking. This is the Lord's anointed. That's clearly not. Because this person I like, this person I don't like. Oh, all the Jewish Christians, followers of Jesus. The Jews thought, okay, but Lord, I thought, but Lord, the church is going great. Because it is, it's exploding. But Lord, all these distractions, they're messy, unclean people. Where in the world you begin with a Roman centurion? They know nothing. Jesus. And I mentioned last week, what in the world happens? What happens when people start walking into churches who have tattoos on their faces, who have purple hair, blue hair, just hair? What in the world do we do when God starts crossing boundaries that we have, prejudices that we have? Oh, we don't. Oh, yes, we do. Guarantee you we do. We have prejudices, and they all stink. Just like these people's prejudice stank. See, but they forgot something. Because Jesus was not giving them, and here if I can say this, Jesus wasn't giving them new information. He wasn't changing it in the bottom of the ninth inning. Oh, this team now gets 5 outs. What? What do you mean this team gets 5 outs? Baseball's 3 outs. Jesus wasn't changing the rules, giving them brand new information they've never heard before. It was not new information for Peter and the whole Jewish church of 10 years. It wasn't new. Why? Because in Matthew 28, as I looked at last week, Matthew 28, red letters, verse 18 to 20, says this. This is what Jesus told them. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's out of order. Sorry. Might be able to find it. It's coming. Wait for it. There it is. Jesus told the believers 10 years prior. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, the disciples, the Jewish followers, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. But what they heard was, go to the Jews and every city. Wherever Jews are spread into other countries, go tell all the Jewish people. That's not what Jesus said. They had heard this and they're all going, yes, Jesus. Yes, you're so right. Their grid was Jewish people. But God's heart was all people. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Potentially it can be just like us here today. Lord, we know how you would vote. We know what you would say. We know exactly what you would do. Because of our grid, because of our background. And we hear about things that other people believe who say that they're believers. And we think, how could you believe in Jesus and believe in that? Can't be. I just wonder what kind of gospel I'm presenting to the people all around me. The Jews had no grid for the Romans, no grid for the soldiers, no grid for anything other than a Jewish world. And I look at my neighbors now. I have a neighbor on one side named Noel. I have a neighbor just down a couple rows, and her name is Deidre. I have another lady named Ruth. There are some men in the neighborhood. Jeremy, he's Pentecostal. At least he speaks in tongues, I hope. And Jesus has placed us in neighborhoods. He's placed us in neighborhoods to reach people who don't look like us, whose skin color is very different than us, whose accent is very different than us, whose political persuasions are almost guaranteed different than us. Am I going to preach Jesus or my political persuasion? What gospel am I preaching to my neighbors? Have I got a grid up so high that they never hear the word Jesus because of my political persuasion? They never get Jesus because of what I'm proclaiming, what's important to me, my political affiliation. They never hear Jesus. These soldiers, all they heard was Jewish and circumcision, and y'all are unclean. No wonder why the Romans weren't wandering in, tell us about this amazing Jesus. They knew the way the Jews felt about them. You're unclean. You're unacceptable. You're going to hell. And I look at people and I just think, Lord Jesus, what am I projecting on people? Lord, help me. Help us to actually look like people who love people, who are, from my perspective, wrong. From my perspective, are far off. From my perspective, who don't know anything. And do they hear all the reasons why they don't count or aren't included? There's three or four people in this room that I get to go to lunch with. I get to go to lunch with a lot of people. But there's three or four people in this room that when I go to lunch, I'm always challenged. Because they're actually preaching Jesus, and they're warm, and they're kind, and they're reaching out to the servers. I go to people's houses, and I see people who know their neighbors' names, and know the neighbors' kids' names, and they have a warmth. There's a warmth about them, because they know people around them. And I look at Jesus, and I think, if Jesus lived in my house, if Jesus lived in my house, and I hope he does, but let's say physically Jesus lived in my house, do you think he'd know my neighbor's name? Do you think Jesus would play golf with my neighbor? Do you think Jesus would love them, invite them in? Do you think Jesus would be worried about their political persuasion? Or would be telling them about heaven and inviting them into something greater? So I look at this and I think, Jesus, you want to break into other worlds, other kingdoms, other mindsets. I think, great, but how? There was a whole world that God wanted to break into, but the Jews were this. It's just us. And Peter was like, huh. And all the disciples were like, well, now. Well, now. That changes everything. Well, now. I wouldn't have seen that coming. It's a perspective change. It's all new here. And I look, if there was ever a time, people, I believe this with all of my heart, if there was ever a time for Christians and the love of God to come to the forefront in a country, it's right now. It is right now. An opportunity to love people who think different than me, act different, don't have my values, don't have my perspectives. God wanted to break into the Gentile world through a people who only saw this. And how foolish I would be to think that maybe I have some filters of my own that Jesus wants to break through and touch a world. So it's a great, but how?
What do I do?
And I think, again, I'll just throw this out. Let's just say I'm in my 60s. I've got hair, no. Let's just say I'm in my 60s. And in the next few years, I go to see Jesus. And I've passed from this life to another life. Do you think when I'm in heaven, I'm talking Tom, because you're going to live forever down here, because you're mostly immortal. But let's say I pass from this life to the next. What's the chance that when I'm standing in heaven, that I'm going to go, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. Well then, I wish I had known that when I lived on earth. I wish I saw things differently on earth. Is there any chance? Because I look at John, the apostle, in Revelation chapter 1, and he sees Jesus glorified. John ate with Jesus, traveled with Jesus for years. John, the apostle, saw Jesus already resurrected. When he walked through the wall, he saw him. But when John saw Jesus as he really is, freaked out and fell down as though dead, because he hadn't seen Jesus as he really is. And when I see Jesus in the age to come, I guarantee you I'm going to sit back and go, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I wish I'd known. All I knew is this. I'm an American. I was raised in the West. I'm white. I'm old. I have wrinkles. I can't bowl anymore. I can't throw a baseball like I used to. Football, yes. But I'm a product of my culture. I've been a Christian in a spirit-filled church for 45 years. That's all I've ever known. And when I stand before heaven, in heaven, is my mouth going to be, oh, I wish I had comprehended that while I was there. I wish I had laid aside all my prejudices that I didn't really think or want to admit. And sometimes when I watch TV and I see someone injured that I love, and I think, do I have that same heart for that person that I don't love so much? Also made in the image of God. Also needing and wanting desperately the love of God. Revelation. And is my life and my love so much that it crosses over their walls? Or am I adding to the wall? Lord Jesus, I don't want to wait to heaven before I see breakthrough in my life. I want to be able to come across people and think they don't just see me, they see Jesus. Amen. And it's in my attitudes and my actions. When I traveled in India, it makes it sound like I do it every week, just on the weekends. I went to India with John Block and Rick Perryman 5 years ago, ish, 4 or 5 years ago. And I'll never forget, there was this man, Rajib, he's coming, he's from India. We work with churches in India. We pulled up outside of his house in a car, and it was a tall building, and there were ladies sitting on the windowsill looking down at us. I'm assuming they're Hindus. They probably were. And these ladies looked down, and you know what they saw? Me, a white man. And you know what they did? They spat at me. They spat at me. And I remember sitting there thinking, lady, you don't even know me. I have got people who could tell you why you should spit on me. But I think just by the look of me, they spat at me. Just my skin color. Knowing I'm probably a Christian in a foreign country. And I just remember thinking, Lord, I wonder how often I communicate that to people in my country. You're different and I don't like you. I haven't physically spat, but something in my heart is communicating to them. You're of a different color. Your hair color is different. You have tattoos in the wrong places. Not that there's right places. That doesn't sound right. Obvious tattoos. And I think, Jesus, can I share good news to people from a clean heart? that welcomes and embraces people, and I'm not giving off attitude and prejudice and things that are ugly. And Jesus, please forgive me. So my great but how is this? Do you know people who aren't born again? I'm going to close in 3 minutes. Do you know people? I struggle. I knew so many non-Christians before I became a pastor of a church. My whole world was unbelievers. And I guarantee you, you know people who don't know Jesus. But we have two things you think. So many people, I don't know non-Christians. I just don't know that many non-Christians. I have two opportunities where we can start mixing with people, getting in other people's world. We have something called Care Portal. And as people who are disadvantaged in our neighborhoods, in St. Charles County, if you want to get out and start mixing with unbelievers, mixing with people who are in need, we have something called Care Portal. We're going to make a presentation either next week or the following week about Care Portal. And it's just people who their houses have been burned down, or they got robbed, or they had twins and they have no money, and now they need car seats, they need diapers, they need food. The kids need backpacks because they don't have money. If you're looking for opportunities to reach into people's world who don't know Jesus, unbelievers, we have something called Care Portal. And I want to encourage this church to step into this and start embracing the community that lives around us. Because if you get an opportunity in this Care Portal, you can actually pray with them. You can tell them about Jesus. You can give them an invitation to anything you want. It's an amazing opportunity to love people. Second thing we do is there's a backpack. There's a high school directly across the street. Katie Ragsdale, you did this like 2 years ago, maybe last year. There's 600 kids in Fort Zumwalt District who need backpacks. And we did this last year. We gave them a backpack, all the goods that go inside of it. On August 7, there's a night we're going to fill backpacks across the highway. We did a great job of gathering backpacks for needy kids. And it was a testimony to the school, once again, about Christians across the street who actually care about the community. On August 7, we can have an opportunity to join with Katie maybe this year, because she and her daughter were alone last year, to actually fill those backpacks and mix with people, many of them who don't know Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that you want to break into worlds that don't look like Tom Kyle. You want to break into worlds that don't look like this church or the people in this church. People who don't talk like us, people who don't think like us, people who don't act like us, people who swear all the time, people who don't love and respect their wife. Careful, enunciate. People are so angry at their kids, yelling at their kids, fighting, fist fighting with their kids in our neighborhoods. Alcoholics, drug addicts living right next to us, right next door. The waitress at the restaurant who's just struggling, has no money for rent. Kids right in our schools, the kid sitting next to me in school thinking about harming himself, harming herself, because nobody loves them, nobody sees them. Lord, open our eyes to see all the people around us in our schools, in my ninth grade science class. Coming up this year, her name's going to be Susan, and she just wants somebody to feel like they see her. Lord, that I can go sit next to that kid in the cafeteria or invite him over to our table and sit down and eat with us. And when they say, why would you do that? Because I'm a follower of Jesus and it's the kind and right thing to do. And what's your name? Tell me about yourself. Jesus, all these people all around us all the time. Open my eyes to see the Cornelius. Help me to see for me, my grid, well then. I've missed it up to now. I've held myself as too busy. I'm different than them. They believe different. Lord, help me to see my well then. to step into other people's worlds, to bring them and let them see Jesus. That Holy Spirit, you would fall on them and change them, just like you did for me. Help me, Lord, help us. That in 2 years from now, this church would look totally different. Too many people, not enough chairs, and we look really different. Young people, old people, purple people, tattooed people. And Lord, forgive me for my prejudice, for wanting them to all look like me. Forgive me. Bring people who don't look like me, Jesus, and give me the words of life to tell them about my friend Jesus. Make me bold and kind, generous and sweet. Help us, Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. 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 We're going to have a prayer team that's going to come forward. Can everyone stand up real quick if you are able? Jesus, I thank you for the people who are here. Lord, for all those people who have challenges in their body. Lord, I thank you. We're going to have a healing workshop tomorrow night, 7 p.m., right here on this property. But Lord, we also want to pray right now for people. If you're hurt, injured, sick, struggling, we want to pray with you. We have a prayer team. If you have broken relationships and just you're struggling at home, we want to pray with you. If you're struggling in your mind and you're gripped with anxiety and fear, can we please pray for you this morning? If you need answers and you have no answers, we want to pray for you this morning. Lord, help us to be like Cornelius, because his very lifestyle, he caught heaven's attention because he was kind and he was generous. Help us, Lord, to love people all around us. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have an amazing week. Be blessed and be encouraged.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.